Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we like to follow a theme every month pretty closely. Sometimes some months go into other months, but and our theme for this month is a sacrifice that pleases God. You know, there are things that please God, and there are things that don't please God, right? And to get the greatest benefit from God wants you to have, you want to give to God things that are pleasing to Him, things that He accepts. God does not accept everything. How many know God does not accept junk? Actually, God is a refinisher. He'll take in an old battered and bruised chair. He'll sand it down. He'll finish it so well that you can't even see the bruises. You can't even see the marks. He makes it brand new. Amen? How many of us, we were battered and bruised, but when we came to Christ, He healed our bruises, He mended our wounds, and He totally made us brand new. So here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "You also, as lively stones," look at your neighbor and say, "You're kind of lively." If your neighbor is sleeping, rib them in the, you know, elbow them in the ribs. You're supposed to be lively, all right? "And you are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Did you know that you are part of God's building? He's building a house in this earth, and it consists of people, just like you and I. God is building His spiritual house with lively stones. You and I are the lively stones. And then He says, "A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ," or by Jesus Christ. And what I said earlier, you know, if you fall in love with Jesus, that'll solve the majority of your problems. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, I'll tell you what, God is pleased with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you will know how to please God just by doing what Jesus did, saying what Jesus said, and living how Jesus lived. How many felt good to know that you've been forgiven? Whew, what a weight and a burden that lifted off my shoulders when I realized that I was forgiven. Did you know that our forgiveness took place on the cross? When Jesus died on the cross, He forgave the entire world. It's just not everybody believes it, and not everybody has received it. Amen? But I'm glad that you're here today because you received it. Now, see, priests, something that priests would do is they would offer sacrifices. And they would do these at different times for different things. But God is encouraging us to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So let me just reiterate something about a sacrifice. Is a sacrifice is an offering to God, usually given on an altar. And I want you to ask yourself this question today. What am I willing to sacrifice for God? I mean, we know what He was willing to sacrifice for us, right? But I want you to ask, I want you to be real and honest with yourself. What are you? What am I willing to sacrifice for God? Okay? A sacrifice is something that is pleasing to God, and it is an act of worship. We know from the story of Abraham, everywhere he went, he did something. He built an altar. And on that altar, he would offer sacrifices. He would worship God. He would commune with God. God would speak to him. God would manifest Himself to him. He would hear God's voice. And you know, because that's what they had to do then, okay? But today, He wants us to offer spiritual sacrifices. A sacrifice, it consecrates, covers, and it consecrates and covers sin, and it satisfies divine anger. I want you to say, if you know, God is not mad at you. Say, God is not mad at me. He's not not mad at you. He loves you. God is mad at the devil. He's mad at evil, but he's not mad at you. He created you in his image and in his likeness. He breathed his very breath of life into you. He paid the most highest price to save you. So God loves you. You got to be convinced that God loves you. A sacrifice is something brought to God in exchange for holiness. You know, God said, be holy for I am holy. You know, we can be holy. We can be W-H-O-L-L-Y and we can be H-O-L-Y. God will make you whole so that you can be holy. Amen? A sacrifice is meeting God's standard with the spontaneous expression of reverence for God. You know, we bring things to God. We offer things to God. Why? Because we love him. You want to give something to God? You do it because you love him. Let love be the motivation. And let the way you lavish your love on God, just let it... Let what you do demonstrate how much you love. Amen? Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to spend a good portion of our time on this today. And we will get to some other sacrifices that pleases God. But in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Thank God for the mercy. How often are mercies new? Every morning. When you woke up this morning, new mercies were available to you. How many, you know, if we didn't have mercy, none of us would be here. If we didn't have mercy, we'd all be dead. But God, through his mercy, so the Apostle Paul is appealing to you through the mercies of God that you, what? You present your bodies, or you offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say living. Now, I like that because when priests offered sacrifices in the Old Testament, something had to die. But in our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God, it is a living sacrifice. How many of you ever heard of a living will or a living trust? When someone dies, they set up this trust, and this trust then goes on perpetually. How many know? Milton Hershey set up a trust. And in that trust, he established money. He established a school. And that trust is still going on today. It's been perpetual. Milton Hershey is long gone, but his trust is still in effect because it's a living trust. God wants you to be a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. Now, I like this, which is your reasonable service. In this verse, we find sacrifice meet service. How many know if you want to serve God, it's going to require sacrifice? You're going to have to sacrifice your time. When God wants you to do something and you want to do something, something's got to give. Your thing is here and God's thing is here, and they're at the same time. Which one are you going to do? Well, you're going to do the one you love more. See, sacrifice comes in when you have a choice between two things. And there was a holy hush that came on the people. So you're supposed to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word living, it is the word zao. It means I live, I am alive. It means to have the life and worthy of the name. It means to be active, blessed, and endless in the kingdom of God. Whoo, I like that. So how you live in your body is a sacrifice that you offer to God. We are to offer our bodies. Why our bodies? Because our bodies right now allow us to be on this earth. How many know you can't do anything without your body? Your body is the vehicle that carries you. Your body is the house that you live in. Okay? And so we got to present our bodies. You got to live out the life of Christ in this life right now. Those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have to live for Christ. You got to stop living for yourself. You got to stop doing your own thing. Sometimes you got to lay you down. If you're in the driver's seat, you're in the wrong seat. When you made Jesus Christ your Lord, he became that. He became Lord. When you said, Jesus, be Lord of my life, you allowed him to lead, guide, and direct your life. And you committed to surrender to his will. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to come back to Romans, so just kind of keep that open. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10. Well, let's look at verse 9, because that's really good too. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Woo! Aren't you glad for that? You don't have an appointment with God's wrath. Woo! But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have an appointment for wrath. You have an appointment for salvation. Okay? Then he says, verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. God wants you to live. He wants you to live with him. He wants you to live through him. He wants to live through you. Amen. This is what it means to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We live a life that pleases God. We speak words that please God. We take actions that please God. Before we came to Christ, we were men pleasers. We were not God pleasers. All of us were. But when you come to Christ, that all changes. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I get so excited for the opportunity to feed you the word. You know, I love proclaiming the uncompromised word of God. That's one of the reasons why we exist. 1 Peter 4 and verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Say, God wants me to live. He does. He wants you to live. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that what? You might have life more abundantly. God wants you to live, but how you live matters. What you do in your life matters. Who you live for matters. And part of presenting a sacrifice that pleases God is one who lives their life offering their bodies to God. What does that mean? We're going to find out what that means. It's going to get really good here. See, Christ wants to be magnified in your body. He wants you to walk worthy of him, following his principles, obeying his commands. See, sometimes, you know, we talk so much about Christ's death, we forget about his life. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth. And in 33 and a half years of living, he committed not one sin. See, now you and I, we were born into sin because the first man, Adam, sinned. And listen, don't be so hard on Adam, because all of us have done something wrong knowing it was wrong. We would have done the same thing, so don't be so hard on Adam. We've done it. So we were born into sin, but Jesus Christ came. And he came to deliver us out of the sin we were born into. And when you accept Christ, you are no longer an old sinner. You are now a new creature. You're not just an old sinner. You're a new creature. You have the nature of God, the nature of life on the inside of you. But now you have a responsibility. And that is you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Listen, God's word was meant to be lived out. It's the most practical, applicable thing that you could ever do. God's word is one size fits all. It has an eternal life guarantee. God's word will not fail, it will not falter, but it will always give you the answers. It will always help you. It reveals God to us, and we have to live like Jesus Christ is our Lord. So our lives need to be holy. There's things that we used to do that were unholy. Now we need to do things that are holy. We can't do the unholy things anymore. Why? Because we understand the destructiveness of sin. Okay? We need to do things that are acceptable to God. Do we do things to our bodies that God doesn't accept? That's just food for thought. I mean, our bodies, everything about our bodies should glorify God, should honor God, should please God. And you can't do it without Christ's strength, and he'll help you do this. To offer your body as a living sacrifice, it means to dedicate your body to God, to please him and to do his will. And this is, once again, this is where sacrifice and service meet together. Before Paul knew Jesus, what did his hands do? He murdered people. He abused people. He incarcerated people simply because they believed in Jesus. But after he met Christ, his hands now bless people. His hands now heal people. His hands now help people. He's doing something different with his hands. He's presenting his body a living sacrifice. He dedicated the rest of his life to preaching the gospel and establishing churches where there was no gospel preached before. He offered his body a living sacrifice. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? They brought her to Jesus. Of course, they didn't bring the man. How many know it takes two to tango? Right? There was two people that sinned, not just one. And her body was used for the wrong thing. But when she met Jesus, he said, I don't condemn you, but he said, go and sin no more. In other words, what he was telling her was, go and use your body for good things. And we know from inside information that that woman was instrumental in starting a church in Damascus called the Church of the Forgiving Servant. She no longer used her body for evil, but now she dedicated her body to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for God. We're going to get deeper into this. To present your body a living sacrifice, it means to offer to God yourself with all your living energies, all your powers directed to God's service, worship with holiness and righteousness and temperance. Did you know that in the fruit of the Spirit there are qualities that control our bodies? Temperance, what's that? Self-control. Who's going to control you other than yourself? It's not my job to control you. It's not my job to choose for you. You got to control yourself. And through the Holy Spirit, you've been enabled to do just that. This is all about presenting our bodies. What kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. It's not unreasonable. It is your spiritual act of worship. When you present your body as a living sacrifice, you completely surrender to God. And you become two things. You become a vessel of honor and an instrument of righteousness. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's talking about vessels. What's a vessel? What do you use a drinking glass for? To drink stuff with, right? It's designed to hold liquid, and it's designed to transport liquid from the source to your mouth without spilling. Sometimes that's a challenge for me. But it's a vessel that is to be used. And here's what God says about a vessel of honor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these. That word purge means to cleanse. Does anybody want to drink out of a dirty glass? You know, when you got green, hairy stuff in the glass, that doesn't look too appealing to drink out of it. But you know what? That green, hairy stuff is like sin in our lives. I tell you what, it doesn't appeal to God, and He certainly doesn't like to fill it and empty it before it's cleansed. If a man purge himself from these things, what it means you choose to stop doing wrong and start to choose doing what's right. These shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. How many want to be that kind of a vessel? You're meet for the master's use. You're prepared for good works. God's got good works for each one of you. But in order to do those good works, it takes some preparation time. Before you throw a dinner party, you make sure the dishes are clean. Right? So you can be a vessel of honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Just put it up on the screen for me. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What vessel is he talking about? He's talking about your body. You need to know how to possess your vessel, how to possess your body. Who gave you that body? God gave you the body. Did not your body become the temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul said, what? Don't you know that you were bought with a price? And your body is not your own? This contradicts the world, doesn't it? Doesn't the world say your body is your own and you can choose whatever you want to do with it? That's wrong. In God's kingdom, when Jesus Christ is your Lord, you can't do what your body wants to do. You got to do what the Spirit wants to do. So you need to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Did you know that God told Ananias that the Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel unto me? God wanted to use Paul as a vessel of preaching the gospel where it was never preached before. So God would fill him up. He would go to a place that never heard the gospel. He would preach. People would get saved. Churches would be established. And he'd go on to the next place. He'd get filled up by God. He'd preach the gospel. And things would happen. And that's how it means to be a vessel of honor. Where God can fill you and God can flow through you. It's hard for God to flow through clogged pipes. You know, in the natural, something that can occur is the hardening of the arteries. And what happens is it restricts the blood flow, and thereby restricting the oxygen that is supposed to get to necessary places. And when you don't lack, when you lack oxygen, you lack the ability to do what you need to do. And so people can go in and they can open up the veins. But guess what? God can open up clogged pipes supernaturally. He can cause you to be loosed by the anointing of God, by the power of God. Listen, there are things in our life that can clog the power of God from flowing through us. There are things that we can do that can restrict the power of God from flowing through us. Just like a clogged pipe. Just like when the commode is flushed and the stuff doesn't go down. There's a clog and we got to take that plunger. Sometimes God's got to take a Holy Ghost plunger and get the muck and the guck that's in the way so the water can flow through. God wants to flow through you. Each and every one of you are a vessel unto God, and He wants to use you. He wants to flow through you. He wants to touch through you. He wants to speak through you. But you got to be a living sacrifice. You got to present your body. Notice, it's your body. It's your responsibility. It's your choice. Boy, if we get a hold of this, this will really help us. And then go to Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13. I knew I was going to be spending a lot of time on this verse. Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How many times have we tore down people with our words? We've become a tool of destruction, not a tool of life-giving. We're yielding, I want to give that person a piece of my mind. You're yielding to the wrong spirit, and you're letting your instruments be an instrument of unrighteousness. But you don't know what they said about me. Yeah, did you consider what they said about Jesus? They criticized him. They cut him down. They tried to find fault. They even tried to physically kill him several times. But couldn't do it. Don't let the devil use any part of your body for an instrument of unrighteousness. You know, the Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. Did you know that your hands are holy? Why? Because they've been touched by the nail-pierced hands. God has come into your body to live there, to dwell there. And because Jesus Christ lives in you, therefore you are holy. And therefore, we have a responsibility to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That's something that pleases God. You've got to present both your inner man and your outer man to God. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many know, in order to present your body a living sacrifice, you've got to think differently. You've got to have a different belief system, a different thought process, and you've got to think about now, how can I please God? What pleases God? Remember the bands, WWJD? What would Jesus do? That still applies. We may not wear the band, but it should be on our heart. You're in a situation, and you've got to choose between two things. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? When you're struggling to come to church, none of us struggle with that, do we? Don't raise your hands, because I'd have to raise my hand too. Sometimes it's not always easy. But you got to ask yourself in that situation, what would Jesus do? If you read the scriptures, when Jesus spoke in the temple, it says he would go to the temple as was his custom. You mean Jesus went to church? Yeah, he's the head of the church. He certainly showed up. He wants you to be in church. He created the church for you. He made the church one big happy family. Everybody put a smile on your face. Say, I'm part of a happy family. It takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. A smile is just a frown turned upside down. Did you know a smile increases face value? And then one more. When you see someone without a smile, give them one of yours. So one who lives for God, there were some things that just came to me and I just wrote them down. It's not an all-inclusive list, but listen to this. One who lives for God communicates with the Father. One who lives for God loves the Lord and loves people. Isn't that the two greatest commandments, love the Lord and love people? A person who lives for God learns and studies the word to do it. A person who lives for God obeys the Lord's commands, knows God's will, conforms to the image in imitating his behavior. A person, one who lives for God, fellowships with other believers, worships the Lord in spirit and in truth, attends church, and witnesses to others. I thought, that's a pretty good list of one who lives for God. One who presents himself, his body to God, does these things. Because we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. To present your body a living sacrifice means you know, you approve, and you do his will. Go with me to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. I want to show you how easy it is to present your body a living sacrifice. It's in three words. I'm gonna teach you right now how to present your body a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is in three words. Are you ready for it? Okay, that's a couple of you. Come on, I want to build up excitement a little bit. Show me that you're with me. Amen. Say, I'm ready to hear this. Okay, I'm going to show you how to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, in three words. Genesis 22:1. It came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. When Abraham said, here I am, he was telling God, I'm ready, willing, and able to do your will. It doesn't matter what you ask. It doesn't matter what you request. It doesn't matter where you send me. I am here to do what you want me to do. I don't care about anything else. Nothing else matters but doing what you want me to do. Here I am. Can we say that together? Here I am. I want you to notice God called to Abraham. And Abraham's response was, here I am. You know, it's just like, I want to learn from the word today. Here I am. Here I am. Those are the three words that you, notice, am is present tense. It doesn't say, here I was. It doesn't say, here I'm going to be. It says, here I am. Right now, in this moment, are you ready, willing, and able to make a sacrifice of your body to God? Sometimes it's sacrifice just to pay attention. Well, Pastor Doug, your words, you just put me to sleep. Wake up! Make a sacrifice. You know, slap yourself a little bit. Lay hands on yourself suddenly. And let the anointing wake you up. You know, Jacob said these words also. In Genesis 31, 9 through 13, and 46, 1 through 4. Another person who said these words was the young boy Samuel. He was just learning how to hear God's voice. And he was in the temple. He was being trained for the priesthood because his mother dedicated him to the Lord. And he heard a voice said, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, here I am. And we know that Samuel's relationship with God was his words never fell to the ground that he spoke. Because he represented his willingness he was willing and obedient to do whatever God wanted him to do, to go wherever God wanted him to go, to be whatever God wanted him to be. Samuel was in a position of presenting himself as a living sacrifice. How would you like to be weaned and leave your mother and go learn how to be a priest? He wasn't even a teenager. The minute he was weaned, he was in the temple. And Hannah couldn't even have children, but she prayed to God for a son. And Samuel, his word means God hears. I'm telling you, God hears you today. God listens to you. Why? Because you're presenting yourself a living sacrifice, your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That means when the devil tries to tell you negative words, you resist those negative words because that's not who you are. That's not who you were. You're not that person anymore. You resist any attempt from the enemy to try to kill, steal, or destroy from you. Because that's not God's will. God's will is for you to have life and have it more abundantly. God paid a high price for you to have life. Now it's about time that we live like we live up to the value that he put on us. Three simple words. Here I am. No conditions. Abraham didn't say, here I am in the morning or here I am in the evening. There wasn't a time stamp. Abraham didn't put any restrictions on God. Here I am after I have my coffee. Nothing wrong with coffee. I fellowship with Jehovah Java. He's the God that makes you go. No, I'm just kidding. But just here I am for whatever. When it comes time to give offerings, here I am. You know, I've heard testimonies of how God has led people to give. God says, I want you to give $50, and knowing you only have $50 in your pocket. How many know God knows that? Amen? God knows exactly how much you have. That's not the point. The point is, are you going to be obedient? When Abraham said, here I am, he did not conceive that God was going to ask him to offer Isaac. The boy he believed for 25 years. I mean, Isaac was Abraham's faith project. It was the epitome of the man's faith was all in Isaac. Why would God ask for such a thing? Doesn't matter. Are you there to say, here I am? Or are you there to say, no, not yet? When God asks you for something, there's a reason why he wants you to give it. But whatever God asks you for, he will more than replenish. Whatever God asks for you to give, it's never a loss, it's always a gain. And Abraham was wholehearted. He was persuaded of, here I am. When God asked for Isaac, he didn't even bat an eye. He didn't even go up, 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 up. You know, he didn't stop. He didn't falter. The next morning, he got up early, ready to give his Isaac. Because he was fully persuaded that here I am. And he did it. He put Isaac on the altar. He raised the knife. He knew full well that if anything happened to Isaac, he would witness a resurrection in that moment. And he was about to go through with the sacrifice, but God said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you have kept nothing from me. See, when you're here today and you say, here I am, you're not holding anything back from God. You have surrendered complete control of everything in your life. And you're ready to give it to God as a living sacrifice. Isaac was a living sacrifice. Isaac didn't die. He lived. And because he lived, God gave his son to us so all of us could live. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. It is your reasonable service. Are you ready to make a sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice today? If God asked you for whatever, would you do it? Would you give it? Would you go? If the answer is no, what's stopping you? What's holding you back from? You obviously don't trust God enough to follow through. There's something that is in between you from going to a deeper level with God. There's something that's blocking you from experiencing greater grace. How many know there's levels in God? You know, the Holy Ghost does not have to speak to you to tithe. Why? It's written in God's word. The sacrifice comes in, though, is when your electric bill's due and your tithe is due, and you're like, oh, which one am I going to do? Well, I'll pay the electric bill. Well, then you've just robbed God. Get this. You have prevented God from going into your future. You've actually robbed your future. You think you're taking care of a bill, and you are. But at what cost? At what expense? All right, let's go on to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Well, no, let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. See, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, you understand that God is the owner of all things and you're simply a steward. So every income that comes into your hands, whether you work for it or whether it's given to you or whether it's a return on an investment, as a living sacrifice, you are constantly and continually giving a tenth of your income to God, and anything above a tenth is an offering. Why? Because you're continually presenting your body a living sacrifice. You want God to continually work in your life, then you got to continually serve Him. How many know this is a participation sport? There are no bench warmers in the body of Christ. You know, in some Christians, they have a no-fault mentality. It's not my fault. Right? You know, ever met anybody like that? It's not my fault. No matter what happens, it's not my fault. Someone else is the cause of this. I had nothing to do with it. You might want to rethink that a little bit. Psalm 51, verse 16. David is praying here after he sinned, committed adultery and murder. And he's having a talk with God. And in verse 16 it says, "For you desire not sacrifice, or else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offerings." So what does God delight in? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So God likes a broken spirit. Well, what does it mean to have a broken spirit? It means that you're repentant of your sin. And a contrite heart means you're genuinely sorry for wronging God. I'll give you an example. When Joseph was working in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife kept trying to seduce him, and she was unsuccessful. Finally, she arranged it where everyone was out of the house, and she was pleading with Joseph to lie with her, okay? And Joseph's response was, "How could I do this thing against God?" Joseph's mentality was, well, no one's around. I could get away with it if I wanted to. No, he understood that if he committed a wrong, it would be directly against God. But some people, they're not sorry because they wronged God. They're sorry that they got caught. But God is the sacrifice of a contrite heart. When David was confronted with his sin, remember the prophet Nathan, he said, "You know, David, I want to tell you something. There was this guy, he had an abundance of sheep. He had flocks and herds, more sheep than you could count. But then there was this other family, his neighbor, and they had a sheep by the name of Fluffy. And Fluffy was like a part of the family. Fluffy would eat at the table, and Fluffy would dine with them, you know, and they loved Fluffy. But this guy who had all these sheep, he killed this guy so that he could take Fluffy." And David was like, "That man should be killed." And Nathan said, "You are that man." And David went, David was sorrowful. He repented because he had wronged God. Yeah, he suffered some consequences, but his quickness to repent made him a man after God's own heart. Versus Saul, he said, "Oh, the people made me do it." Wrong answer. Saul was not repentant. He lost the kingdom. David was repentant, and he was a man after God's own heart. So here's what I tell people. Be quick to forgive and quick to repent, and you'll be okay. Husbands and wives, be quick to forgive, quick to repent. Doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Doesn't matter. It matters who makes it right. Doesn't matter if you didn't do it or not. You be the one to make it right. You be the one to ask for forgiveness. I was just listening to a message this past week, and Keith Moore, I don't know if you know him or not, but he was preaching, and he said that he was invited by Brother Hagin to this meeting. And so he went to this meeting, and Brother Hagin had him come up, and Keith shared. And, you know, afterwards he was feeling pretty good, but the next day he got some letters by other ministers who were basically rebuking him and wanting to correct him. And, you know, he was like, "Lord, Lord, you know, what did I do wrong?" And he was seeking the Lord, and, you know, because he did what he was asked to do. And the person who was in charge of the meeting, he was okay with what he did, so it must have been okay, right? And his first reaction was to be, "These guys are criticizing me," or whatever, you know. We get all riled up, don't we? And it's the flesh boiling. You know, your spirit is on cold, but your flesh is boiling. And so he's seeking the Lord. And the Lord said, "Well, Keith, couldn't you have been more gracious or more humble or operated in more wisdom?" And Keith goes, "Well, I could have been more gracious or more humble." And finally the Lord told him, he said, "Would you just apologize for me?" Even though he didn't do anything wrong. And he did. He said he spent a couple hours putting together the words to say in response. But you know what? Because he did that, if he would have not apologized, it would have caused people to take sides. It would have caused a bigger mess to happen. But he humbled himself. And he apologized, even though he didn't do anything wrong. And sometimes we got to do that. It's part of offering to God a sacrifice of a contrite, a broken heart. Listen, we all came to Christ. We were all broken. It wasn't working right. We needed to be fixed. No one could put together the pieces. We were in worse shape than Humpty Dumpty. You know, I mean, he fell off the wall, and the king and all of his horses couldn't do anything. Humpty Dumpty needed a savior. One who specializes in taking broken pieces and putting them so good together that you didn't even know that they were broken. And that's what God did for us. So some of the sacrifices that God is pleased with, he wants you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. He wants you to offer to him your brokenness, your sorrow. Can you do that? Those are sacrifices that God is pleased with. When God is pleased with the sacrifice, he receives it. And when he receives it, he blesses the giver of that offering. You know, one final thing. Moses, see, here's the thing. The sacrifices that you make in life, they need to be for the greater good of others. I like the conversations that Moses and God had. Sometimes I find them hilarious. God's telling Moses, move out of the way, Moses, I'm going to destroy all these people. And Moses said, oh, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? I mean, he would get in God's face, and God was okay with it. But I remember one time where God was, he was so ticked off and so mad at the people that he wanted to destroy them. And Moses said, God, if you don't forgive them, blot my name out of the book. In other words, Moses was saying, I will sacrifice my life for the greater good of others. And that's what sacrifice is all about. The ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to earth, living, dying, rising again. The ultimate sacrifice was how we got access to all the benefits of God in the first place. It was a sacrifice that God was willing to make. It was a gift he was willing to offer, even to the ones who reject him, even the ones who don't believe in him. The reason they couldn't eat his flesh and drink his blood, the reason that people left was they didn't believe it. What do you believe today? I believe that you can offer to God living sacrifices. You can give things to the giver that he'll be pleased with, that he'll accept, and as a result, he will bless you abundantly. So let's answer that question today. What are you willing to sacrifice for God? I believe that there are some people here today that there are things of our own doing, things of our own choosing, that we have created to become barriers between us and God. And God wants to break through those barriers today. He wants to break down the walls of Jericho that have held you captive, and he wants to have full access into your heart, your life today. Would you give God full access into your life today? Would you say, God? You know, John the Baptist, they said, did you know that Jesus is baptizing more people than you? John just smiled and he said, he must increase, I must decrease. What needs to decrease in your life today? What do you need to give to God today? Maybe it's an area of your heart. Maybe you're holding on to something of the past. Maybe you keep opening up a wound. You keep putting a hurt at the forefront of your life. God wants to heal you today. God wants to pour in the oil and the wine. God wants to mend you up. He wants to put you in the inn. And if there's any other expense, He'll take care of it. He wants to sustain you. He wants to provide for you. Would you open up your heart today? So this is an all or nothing. If you answer this call today and you come up front, you're saying, God, I'm giving you all today. I'm not going to hold back anything. And I believe the power of God is going to meet you where you are, and it's going to lift you up and transform your life into so you can experience greater goodness. If that's you today, I want to invite you to come. All who's willing to hold nothing back. All who's willing to make a greater investment into the spirit and a lesser investment into the flesh. It's a day of surrender. You're surrendering your will to God's. You're giving up your way for His. Now, when you do that, it's gonna